Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. I'm a pastor. I'm executive director of Christian Home Educators. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. Five children, Daniel in studio, as is Daniel Buhner and Dave, our producer. Two Daniels in studio today. And this comes from the mailbag. We'll read it on the air, folks. If you want to interact with this program, just email kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And here from England, I love the program. Spelled with a M-M-E-E, and I download it regularly. My wife and I live in England, and God has been pleased to bless us with our first baby, Isaac, about 8 months ago. See, Dave, you download the program, and you have babies. This program is prolific.
This program is romantic.
It's prolific. We're not the fastest-growing radio program in America. That's the other one. But we do grow generationally. Another listener in England, folks, he's 8 months old. We really want to have more children, he says. Well, he's getting them. The vision here, the vision for generations. It is so encouraging to hear what God is doing in the U.S. Europe seems to have gone over the edge. The U.K. looks like it is about to take a running dive over the edge, too. There are still a small number of faithful churches in England, and homeschooling is legal and growing. I know of several homeschooling families, and we're good friends with two of them. In parentheses, five and four children each. Now, that's significant, Dave, when you know that the birth rate in England is 1.7? They're imploding just like everybody else. In the news also here, Canadian families are not having babies. I've talked about South Korea having the lowest birth rate in the whole world, 1.15. Japan's birth rate is imploding. They'll have half the population in 50 years from now. And you've got Europe, the lowest birth rate in Europe is happening in Italy, but Canada is not having babies either. Here's the article, and this comes from Canada. In a future Canada where senior citizens drastically outnumber babies, schools will be replaced by old age homes. Neighborhoods of single family dwellings will make way for smaller condos, townhouses, and playgrounds will become disused relics of the past. The country's population is in decline, and unless massive immigration and overhaul of reproductive attitudes and policies compels a radical downturn, Canada will soon reflect a lopsided and never-seen-before demographic reality where the young are drastically outnumbered by the old. By the year 2015, folks in Canada, for the first time in the history of Canadian population statistics, there will be more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 15. Canada's birth rate is roughly 1.7. That compares to Germany at 1.3, Italy at 1.2, Japan at 1.2, and Korea at 1.1. Ladies and gentlemen, today we want to look at population and why in the world do we see these implosions of population anywhere where humanism has raked its claws down the back of that culture. You are seeing this sort of population implosion. Incredible what gross existentialism will do when you teach people day in and day out, the family doesn't matter. The family doesn't matter. All that matters is you and your career. All that matters is your life, your satisfaction. You are living for you and not for God. Self-centered existentialism and raw humanism just rots out cultures. Well, are we overpopulated? That's the question today. Obviously we're not. And yet, guys like Reverend Thomas Malthus was prophesying this 200 years ago. Isn't it interesting that most of the really, really, really bad stuff comes from Christian pastors and sons of pastors? I think of Charles Darwin or Frederick Nietzsche or even Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Some of the very, very, very worst minds that ever lived in the 1900s, the 1800s, and the 1700s came from the Christian church. Just an interesting comment there. But what Malthus prophesied was that there would be worldwide starvation because the population would grow faster than our ability to produce food. And guess what happened? Didn't happen. The most dense nations in the world, nations like Japan, became economic powerhouses of the modern world only after they increased their populations. Malthus was dead wrong. He thought there would be an increase in poverty because of the overproduction of the young, the inability of resources to keep up with the rising human population, and the irresponsibility of the lower classes. So to combat this, Malthus suggested the family size of the lower class ought to be regulated such that poor families do not produce more children than they can support. And that's why, by the 1920s, you had people like Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who said, quote, "We do not want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population," because they were thought to be inferior by the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. A lot of you don't know that. But Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist racist. She called for the elimination of human weeds. Her words, not mine, folks. The founder of Planned Parenthood talks about the elimination of human weeds, the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and the sterilization of, quote, genetically inferior races. That's Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Well, folks, this is the legacy of men like Reverend Thomas Malthus and Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And, of course, she has done immeasurable harm on the black population in America. It has been a crying shame, the number of abortions we have seen among the African-American population across this country. And she has done immeasurable harm for the families and the population of places like South Korea, Japan, Europe, and now America. Well, as it turns out, and we're going to talk about this today, we are not overpopulated. Overpopulation is not a problem. It was a total myth. And it fed the existentialism, the self-centered humanism, which virtually dominates the way people think and live today. Yes, humanism has ruined civilizations and continues to do so. But we're going to bring a worldview to bear in just a moment. A worldview that speaks of the blessing on economies that increase population. The blessing of economies that deny a self-centered humanism and begin to live their lives for others. We're going to talk about the beauty of family, strong families, big families, and what it does to civilizations in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson. It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Folks, we're back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, and people are not having children. Population imploding in Canada. This according to a recent article that I just read before the previous break. And Esther Bozerup has done an interesting study. Now, she is no longer with us, but through the 1900s, she was studying population growth in sub-Saharan Africa. And she discovered that as population grew, what would happen is that people would become more creative and start to work the land more intensively. So, as opposed to what Malthus was saying, that is, the agricultural methods determine population or the food supply, instead she shows that population determines agricultural methods. Well, I'm going to say it's a little bit more than that. I mean, she does say that competition and more people will increase efficiency and the way that we use the land. And that should be obvious. When the pilgrims came over here, the Indians were starving to death, and there weren't that many of them.
There really weren't. We have a lot more people now, and we're eating a lot better.
Yes, we are. So history has not proved Malthus's point. And Bozerup, Esther Bozerup, and others have brought out studies that disprove anything he ever said. But Dave, ultimately we have got to go to the Word of God. The bottom line with Malthus is that he didn't trust in God. If you look at God's Word, what you find is debt is bad and big families, lots of children, are good. This is what God's Word says. If you're going to look to God's Word as establishing your ethics, which means the way that you live your life and what you consider to be a value in life, then you have to assume that debt is bad and big families are good. And yet, what does the modern Keynesian form of economics teach us? What does modern existentialism teach us? Debt is good. Get in as much debt as you can possibly get. And big families are bad. And so what has happened? Well, what has happened is we are in $60 trillion of debt in this country, and we have 1.9 or 2.01 children per family. That's down from 4.0 in 1900.
Not only are we passing on debt to our grandchildren, but we're passing it on to fewer of them, so each of them have a greater burden to bear.
Absolutely. It's just destroying economies. What the foreign worldview of humanism, existentialism, and the Keynesian economic system has done is given us a system that is going to fail. Folks, economic debacle is inevitable with the worldview that you've bought into, that all of us have bought into in the modern Western world. But God's word says in no uncertain terms, debt is a bad thing and big families are good things. Dave, you know why people do not have children? I think there's a lot of reasons why. One is they are self-consumed. All they think about is themselves. We've mentioned this before. The average square footage of a home has increased from something like 967 to 2100 in the last 30 years, at the same time that the number of children per family dropped from 3.5 to 2.0. So people love drywall more than children. They love themselves, and they love their own entertainment, their own comfort, much more than they love children.
And look at the modern home. Look at modern architecture. Does the modern home have a big dining room for gatherings with people and friends? No. And if it has a dining room, it's usually quite small and not used. But what is big in those rooms?
It's all about the bedroom and the bathroom.
The bathroom. The bathroom is bigger in most homes now than bedrooms used to be.
Because families and families coming together is not an important thing. We're not having children. Another issue that's in the mind of a lot of people is that if they have children, they think they're going to risk their children starving to death. I mean, this is what Malthus was saying. If poor people have lots of children, they're going to risk those children starving to death. Or if you don't have children, you'll never risk them going to hell. Okay? I mean, if you never had a child, they would never go to hell. So if you never had a child, they never starve to death. That's true. So people don't want to take these sorts of risks. Why? Well, they have no faith. Dave, it takes faith. It takes faith to have children, and it most certainly takes faith to look in God's Word and read that children are a heritage. They are a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says that children are a blessing. When we buy into this existentialism, self-centered thing, we lack faith. We lack faith in God. We lack faith that God will save our children, that God will take care of our children materially. Here's another story that came out just recently from the UK. As a study that was carried out by a debit card company in England in conjunction with the British magazine Family Circle, it found that the cost of raising a child until he or she is 18 years old is $75,000. Now, some of the estimates have been as high as $250,000. These are met as a warning to families that your children are going to be too expensive. Anybody who got $75,000 on them, that's going to be expensive. You have five or six of them, that's going to be $450,000. You don't have that kind of money. These are scare tactics that we get from the left a lot, indicating that children are just too expensive. Dave, I've done my own study on this, and my estimation, looking at my own children, the amount we spend for food, clothing, I included health insurance in this, is we will spend $22,000 per child, not $75,000, $22,000 for our children for all 18 years that they're with us. Okay, that does not include college education. They didn't include it in their study. It's not included in my study. But my children are costing me $22,000 per, and that's about $1,200 per year per child, and that's almost equal to my federal tax credit.
Yes, your children are healthy and they're happy. They're not wearing designer clothes. Your daughters, I've never seen wear designer clothing. They do not have tennis bracelets. Do you know what kind of effect that will have on them later in life?
But Dave, I'm breaking even on this thing. It's a break-even deal, and it's not just a break-even deal. I want to go back to that Canadian story. There's a lot of concern in Canada right now because of the birth implosion, and they're going to have far more people 65 and older than 18 and younger in the next, I think it was 15 years. So they're very concerned. Listen to this. What's most interesting is that the most serious decline in fertility is affecting those whom the nation would most like to see as parents. The highest paid, highest educated women are forgetting about motherhood entirely or seriously reducing their number of desired offspring in what has been called a revolution in fertility. Of course they're doing that, Dave. They have learned the worldview well. They sat under John Paul Sartre and existentialism. They sat under that it's all about me, 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 and me in the whole Hollywood and media industry for the last 30 years. They've got an education system. It's all about your career, your life, your career. It's all about you, and it's not about a future generation. It's not about your children. It's not about a family. They've been well-trained. But it's interesting here. These liberals are very concerned about this because they know that the modern economies are facing huge, huge long-term failure. Devastation will come to the Western economies because the baby boom is retiring, so there won't be enough to sustain these folks, especially since they have been carefully trained by socialists all their lives to expect womb-to-tomb Social Security, and the Social Security won't be there for them. And successful, economically motivated families are not having children. That's the point made here. These motivated families, these hardworking families where people are out there in the workforce, they are studying, they are intelligent and educated, they're working hard, they're diligent, they're not having children. But why aren't they having children? Well, they've been taught to be selfish. But here, even more than that, in the past, children were considered to be part of that economy, of that economic structure.
Kevin, one of the earliest economics textbooks called The Wealth of Nations, it was said that the way to wealth in America was to have a large family because you would have more workers in the field, more workers in the kitchen. The family economy could thrive if you had a lot of workers. Children didn't cost you. Children were a benefit economically to you.
You got it, Dave. And when a family pulls together on a business, it usually becomes fabulously wealthy. Far more wealthy than some dumpy corporate job where you're getting your 680 grand a year for being a manager of some paper-pushing bureaucracy. Far more than any of that. When a family pulls together and becomes an economic force together in that home, they become fabulously wealthy. How do you think the Carnegies developed? How do you think Henry Ford Corporation developed? It developed out of a family vision, a family that pulled together and established themselves. But now you have the corporate economy that destroys the household economy. Dave, if I want to get a job, if I want to work for some particular person for a time, I can't take my whole family down there. We don't work as a family. No way. It's all about me, my career, and me.
You mean you couldn't go to HR and ask for a family size cube?
No. Not at all. Families, couples, families with children have been ripped apart and segregated in the economy. Households don't link their wealth to the number of children they have. Households don't take dominion as a family. They see children as a negative, as a drag on their ability to produce. Historically, you're right. Big families were wealthy families, but now we've got the segregating model. So big families are not wealthy families. They're segregated families. We segregate fathers into these corporate cubicles. We segregate the mothers into their own career tracks. Then we take the children and segregate them into boxes called classrooms, and all their siblings are separated. The whole thing's a mess. And the end result is an economy that is not going to work. The end result are professional women out there doing their career thing. They're not part of a unified household's vision. They're not part of an economic vision. They're part of their own little vision, and they're not having kids.
Well, Kevin, once you make children a liability instead of an asset to an economy, you're going to stop having children. I mean, what do you do in economics? You limit your liabilities and you leverage your assets. When debt became an asset, they jumped into it. Of course, this is all wrong. The Word of God tells us differently, and now we see that economies are going to fail because we no longer view children as an asset to the family economy, as something that not only do we love, but are an important part of our legacy and of leveraging what our mission in life is, our vision for life. So basically, we just turned the whole thing upside down, and professing to become wise, we became fools.
And ladies and gentlemen, the mainstream media is catching on to this. The mainstream media is seeing that families, professional families with their own individual career tracks, are not having children. They won't have children because they don't consider children a value. The word economics comes from the Greek words oikonomia, which comes from the words vision of a household, vision of a family, the law of the family. the fundamental economic unit from the history, from the beginning of the world, has been the family, not the individual, not that 24-year-old career woman on her own career track. That was not the basic economic unit. It's always been the family, and our current economic structures are falling, and they will fall. They will fall, and they will fall in Japan, in South Korea, and America, unless we can revive a unified household vision. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we do on this program. Every single day, we bring back a vision of a unified household, unified in a vision for God, for His kingdom, and for the future. Let me encourage you to get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. I bring this book because I believe this is where we begin. We begin to educate our children in the right way. You can get this book by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child at 877-842-CHECK. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.